All right, let's go. Don Cherry's Grapevine is on the air, and here we go. Did you see McDavid's goal last night or the other night?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. You know what it reminded me of? I remember you had your hockey school in Boston, and we had Ricky Middleton on the team. Oh. And Ricky Middleton, we were like 10 years old, and Ricky Middleton used to get the puck, and he used to try to get it off Ricky Middleton, and we were all skating around chasing him. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, Ricky Middleton used to get, I had him. I had Stan Jonathan. I had Terry O'Reilly. Who else did I have? I forget who else I had.
Oh, everybody showed up, though. It was one of those. It was like Dad had you had a hockey school in Boston with the Bruins, and I think Ricky was there. Terry was there.
Was Peter there, Peter McNabb?
No, I don't think Peter. Well,
Mike. Was Mike there?
Mike. I think Mike Milbury was there. And then
Bobby Schmatz.
Schmatz, but they all, like, Jerry Cheever showed up, and then Peter showed up, and then Bobby Miller showed up. Like,
they
just showed up and hung around with the rink. And I think
the time that guy in the back, what was his name?
Malcolm.
Malcolm, yeah. And he lived in the arena.
He actually lived in the arena.
Yeah, he lived in the arena. Well, it was a big room he had.
Yeah.
And we used to, that's where we used to get dressed all the time in there. Remember, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He was smoking a big cigarette, and he had a little ash on the end. And Schmatz, he said, "Don't move, don't move."
He pinned him against the wall and said, "Don't move,
don't move." And he took the stick and he actually took the ash off and never moved this cigarette.
like put the cigarette out.
Nice. How accurate. Well, you know what, Dad? You sure did have some great hockey schools. I remember the one in Rochester that you guys had. And you and Mom put it all together, and it was real dynamite.
We had to send all the money back.
How was that?
Well, what happened was they promised me that they'd have the ice in.
Oh, the RIT.
And they didn't, and they had a cement strike or
That's
something
right.
like that, and we had to send all the money back. But the very first one I went to, did I tell that story about Dick Gamble's school? I don't know if I did.
Well, you knew how not to run a hockey school.
Oh, I know. If they went there, they see me on the ice. I used to have a headache. We used to go all the time, but hockey schools were great. And you know what? Everybody signed up for the next year.
Yeah. Well, I remember the one in the Dick Gamble one that we were at. All the kids, we'd always leave with headaches at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and I mean like
splitting headaches.
Like you couldn't see. And somebody found out that back then, this would have been.
No, what happened was, excuse me, Tim, I don't like to interrupt you. But what happened was I saw the young goaltender. Remember, what was his name? Charlie Parker.
I think his name after the same name as the musician, Charlie
Parker.
Yeah,
and he was out cold. Laying on a like he was on a table, and he was out cold, and him and I were the last ones out, and we found out later that the Zamboni, the fumes from it, weren't being sucked out by the fans. The fans weren't on.
Right.
And back then the Zambonis were run by diesel.
So all that carbon monoxide.
All that carbon was just sitting in the rink, and it couldn't get out. So you imagine it ran 10 times that day.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day.
And him and I were, and I had a splitting headache, and he was out cold. I had left him there, I might have died.
I mean, I remember how awful, like, the headaches you got. And they found out that there was fans in the roof that were supposed to go, and somebody had turned them off.
And the fans were going all the time. They'd suck all that out.
Because I remember you were going to say is that you remember you went to Dick Gamble's school. And the thing was, like, he never barely showed up. All the kids wanted. He was the big star of the Rochester Americans.
I remember the guy, you know, the guys, they didn't care about hockey schools. I mean, they'd show up, and I'd be on like a goof. I was unemployed. You're going to give me $100 a week. I was so happy. When I think of it, it must have been nuts. And I'd stay on an extra half hour while the other guys wouldn't, you know, they'd come in late and they'd have hangovers and
I remember when you came home with the blisters on your hands.
Yeah, we got to tell that story.
Oh, yeah,
tell that story.
And that wasn't even, just think about it, folks, that wasn't even your hockey school. That was you putting in time for those kids because, you know, you felt they had to get their money's worth, and you kept shooting pucks on, I guess, shooting pucks on the goalies.
Blood, you couldn't believe. I drove home with my wrists, my aunt.
Because you came home.
Yeah, they were taped. I remember seeing them.
I had to tape it up. I couldn't. And your mother said, I think she did that just on. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I got to go in tomorrow. She says, well, I'll try Epsom salts.
I think Epsom salts. I read somewhere that they help wounds heal and everything. It's so.
And I never forgot.
And remember the hot water and the was stripped in the shower, and it was hard to turn off the
hot
water.
Well, you couldn't turn it off, and I'm trying, and I shoved my hands in.
In a bowl.
And it took about 10 seconds. I thought my brain exploded.
Salt water on
open
wounds.
Yeah, and Epsom salt.
And then
I tried to get the water, and the thing was broken.
Mom and I hear this scream up in the bathroom.
Oh, you couldn't believe the pain.
And between the hot water running that you couldn't turn off and the salt water that was just, you know, brutal.
No, Epsom salts. And it was bubbling. And, you know, and I thought, gee, I don't know.
Big, and Mom, well, big, tough hockey
Rose
player.
Rose said, oh, I never got. So anyhow.
So anyway, you say you should say, don't ever put blisters in Epsom salts.
No, don't ever do it. Now, I remember the kids coming up to me, where's Mr. Gamble?
Yeah, sad.
So I'm getting mad, eh? What a goof I was.
You went in, eh?
Yeah, I was making $100 a week, and the rest of the guys were making more money than me, and he knew that I was unemployed. I was happy to make it the $100, believe me.
Yeah.
And I went in, and it just happened he was counting the money from all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, get your ass out here. I said, you're this supposed to be the Dick Gamble School. And I said, you haven't been out here once this week. And I said, get your ass out here. I was fired.
Well, I remember, too, for talk about the schools, that in Boston, I think you were the one of the first schools that you had the girls playing with the boys. And you had a separate dressing room.
Yeah, I had a separate dressing room, and the girls wanted to play. I said, sure. And they were as good as the guys.
Yeah.
They
really shone, because they wanted to play with the guys.
Oh,
show
were
what
they ever
skaters
good?
Were they ever good?
So everybody says you're anti-woman hockey. That would have been, what, 78?
Anti-woman hockey. Yeah. I'm the guy that, well, I'll tell the story. Maybe I told it before, but I'll tell it again. Was Hazel McCallion phoned me when I come from Colorado, and she said, I want you up Saturday morning. Saturday morning, I said, well, I said, day of the game, I don't. She's, I want you there. Okay. So I thought I'd better go. So, and I went up and I saw there was a team from Sweden. There were girls. There were young girls. And I could see that they loved hockey as much as the guys loved hockey. And I paid my way, and they were playing in Ottawa or Montreal. No, Ottawa. And they were having their big game down there. That was like for the championship. I paid my way down, went on television and everything. And
Well, the big word is misogynist, isn't that it?
Yeah, they call you misogynist.
Misogynist all the time. That's a big. That means fear women or hate women.
Yeah, but
like I'm
saying,
that.
In 78, you were the first hockey school.
I was the first guy.
First hockey school to have the women. And you know, the funny thing I always remember was the girls are always a little bit bigger than the guys then.
Yeah.
You know, taller. Like I think girls grow a little physically, maybe a little bit faster. A little bit faster. So they were always a little bit bigger.
And they were always better.
And we hit. Like it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't like.
Like we just said, if you're going to play, there's no boys hockey, no boys
and
rules.
And they said, let's go.
Let's go. We hit and everything like that.
Yeah, you had a great hockey school, Dad. I remember.
Yeah, and everybody was signed up for the next year, too.
That's right.
And one more thing of the hockey school, and we'll go on to the next one. It's not nothing to do with the hockey school, but Ricky Middleton used to come. Yeah. And as they say, he would. The best fun we had was him having the puck, and then we all go chasing after us. And he would throw two or three pucks on the ice, and we would go for a half hour, like take the puck off the thing.
Yeah, well, that's what the kids
so,
want.
So we were just exhausted when we came off the ice. So the day was done, and Ricky had a nice Jeep, and he started his Jeep. And you hear click, just like
ting. Nothing.
Nothing. So. Like, he goes, oh, maybe the battery's dead. So you guys go over to try to jump his battery. Nope, nothing. Click. So I don't know if you guys called
Larry Peter McNabb. He looked into the oil. Was no drop of oil. And it seized. His beautiful car had seized.
He had no oil. He didn't change
it. And I remember saying to him, well, you got to put oil in it. You have to put
oil
in
a car, really? I just thought you had to put gas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And that's what happened at the hockey school. Oh, I could tell you a million things.
Oh, yeah. There's a million stories.
Yeah. But anyhow, if you saw McDavid's goal last night, I've only saw one better. And you went through the whole team. If that last defenseman had his stick to the right, you know, he was a left-handed shot. If he had a stick over to the left, he'd have tripped him anyhow. Oh, what a goal that was. I've only seen one better.
Which one was that?
I'm going to tell you the one right now. Okay, Bobby Orr, and who else but Bobby Orr, was killing a penalty. And now you didn't want to run at him when he had the puck because he'd make you look foolish to kind of chase him. So he used to park himself in front with the puck with killing a penalty. And if you run at him, he'd go behind. And he just, you know, you look stupid.
Yeah.
So one time, I forget which team it was.
Atlanta, wasn't it?
I forget the Hawks anyhow. But so they said we're not going to look. We're going to get him. I think the coach had this all set up. So they didn't run at him. They kind of and they had a power play. So he goes down the right side, and he's kind of meandering down the right side. Nobody's running at him, and he goes in the corner. Now they got him. Like he goes the right hand corner, looking down. And everybody goes, honestly, they all fell down trying to catch him. He hurries behind the net, you know, because now he picks up speed. The goalie goes out. He's going to trip him. And he jumps over the stick. And now the goalie's out. He falls down too. He comes out in front. The whole team is laying in the corner. And he puts the puck in. He backhands it in. And what he did was he put his head down. And he looked down at the ice. So I asked him one time, I said, how come, I mean, goal like that, you could celebrate it. And it's the first time I've ever heard. I heard 10 seconds delay. There wasn't a crowd. You know, the crowd never, there was like, did I see what I saw?
Yeah.
And he put the stick down on his knees and looked down at the ice. I said, you know, a guy like that, Bobby, you can. He says, why don't you celebrate after a goal? He says, well, I don't want to embarrass the goalie. That's what he said to me. But that's the greatest goal I ever saw.
But you can also see him in a lot of the goals that he scored, like not as good as that, but other goals that he sort of, you know,
he
went through.
Know.
The only time
he put a stick in the air, Cindy, was when the other team would score.
No, but what I was going to say is he would almost push the players away when they would come up to congratulate him.
Yeah,
he'd look the other way and sort of push them away. He didn't want all the glory.
I remember, Phil, I don't mean the other team. I mean when Phil, the other, like Johnny Busick get a goal or Philly get a goal, he put a stick in the air if he assisted on it. But if he scored a goal, he put a stick.
McDavid humble like that?
After that goal.
he's usually pretty good.
Oh. He doesn't jump around too much.
Oh, that boy! He was going straight. He picked it up and he just went through the whole team.
It's funny how you say that. I remember that goal in Atlanta. You're right. They didn't want to run him. They didn't know what to do. And it almost seems like that's what the problem with McDavid is. They don't know what they do, and they back off, and he just keeps coming. And then it's too late.
They're afraid, and they back off. Everybody's back. If you notice, when he gets the puck, everybody's backing up because they're afraid to go at him. That's what he wants you to do.
I don't remember. Like, I'm trying to think with Gretzky's goals. Did they do the same thing? Did they back off Gretzky? It was a different era because they'd try to run him through the boards, I would guess.
He was pretty sharp. He knew where the puck was going. He'd anticipate. But McDavid, holy smokes.
Yeah, as they say, it looks like they don't know what to do with him.
Well, they back up with McDavid.
So what would you do? Well, if you had Donnie Marcotte on him, who was your checker, what would you do?
I don't know what I'd do with that guy. I mean, he is something else. But I'm really afraid for him because he does things that nobody else does. And I used to say that about Burry all the time. What I call leaving a leg. He doesn't leave a leg. He just keeps on going. What a goal! Anyhow, that was the last goal. It was unbelievable.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca, a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up...
I like that Canadian-owned.
That's right. Keep the money in Canada. And if you sign up now and use the promo word grapes, you get the... they match your deposit up to $250. You get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And then your first sportsbook bet, they'll spot you $25. So, they're...
Can't lose.
No, they can't lose, and the
well, you can lose.
Well, you can lose. They also have prop bets, which is really kind of fun. Like you can bet, is Connor McDavid going to score a goal and stuff like that, which you can't do in a lot of ones. So lots of fun. We like to thank them for all their support. So, Dad, this is Sunday morning, and so what happened on the weekend?
Well, the Chicago coach got fired. I'm happy to get out of here, Jerry Culloden. He got fired.
Does he get paid?
Yeah, he gets paid for the rest of the year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but he's just happy. Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, it's so sad.
Well, I hope Derek King turns him around. He's a guy that paid his dues.
Yeah, he played. He played tough.
Played a long time. You know, coaching the American League.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can.
He'll be a good coach. He looks like a good coach.
I think he's from Hamilton. So
I don't know where he's from.
Wish him good luck.
Okay, he got fired at Toronto. They're outshot. Really, in the third period, they're outshot 23-9, which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're outshot 44-36, and they won the game.
Yeah, Dad, Boston just doesn't seem the same without Rask. You know?
No, although he played good.
The guy played good, I thought Boston played pretty good, but you just don't have the confidence without Rask behind the net.
Take a chance.
But I got to say, though, Dad, you know, and we've talked about it, that Campbell for the last two games, like the game against Tampa.
They should sign him quick.
Right, because he stole, that should have been 3-0 Tampa in the first 5 minutes of the game, and he stole them. He hit up goalposts, and you're right.
They should sign him. I make a prediction they'll sign him within 3 weeks to a month. They should sign him because he just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
Nashville beat Vancouver. Vancouver had a lot of power plays. They had 5 power plays and they didn't score on it. And Nashville scored had 3 power plays and scored 2, which is tough. Las Vegas beat Montreal, and you know there's the one that I don't, you know, and talk about missing Price. Montreal, believe it or not, outshot Las Vegas 20-1. 20-1. They had one shot on net
in the first period. So didn't you say that something happened like that?
That happened one time. This is in St. Louis. I'll never forget this. We're having a tough time. And I've said many times before, it wasn't hard to end the net. I played the other guy. I don't want to mention his name, make him feel bad. We had 10 shots, and they announced the 10 shots, and I'm looking up at the board. 10-0. We're out shooting St. Louis. 10-0. Honest to God, I can still see it now. The guy gets the puck, and a St. Louis guy gets the puck. He steps over. He's coming up. He steps over the red line. He shoots from the red line, and they score. He scores on this guy. I look up at the board. It's 10-1. And they're leading 1-0. Boy, I'll tell you.
You pulled him.
Oh, I pulled him.
So you pulled him on one shot.
You put it, and you put in Hardy?
Yeah, Hardy. Didn't matter.
Oh, my gosh.
Cold or flu, I'd say, what do you want?
The shot's 20-1, like the other night. Wouldn't you, if you were the management, saying to the shot guy who does the shots, fudge it a little bit?
No, it was 20-1. I saw part of the game.
But there was the other one in Philly where the guy with the shots were 20-1.
Oh, that was you mean the one. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a story about Philadelphia, and I think it was Colorado. I'm not sure, but the story... Before I coached there. And they were unbelievable. Teams were terrified going into Philadelphia. We weren't, but a lot of teams were terrified going into Philadelphia. They were like a wolf pack, eh? And they won two Stanley Cups, so it must have been doing something right. Freddie Sherrill must have been doing something.
The Broad Street Bullies. This is the
Oh, you can't call them bullies. So what,
Well, in those days, you could.
Well,
say
we were doing the Rock'em Sock'em tape, and we mentioned the Broad Street Bullies, and we got a note from the NHL. So you can't call them bullies. I said no. We're not calling.
We do it in a loving way.
Yeah, we said that's their nickname.
Yeah.
And the lady goes, no, but bullies is a negative connotation of a team. I said, yeah, I know what a bully is.
They were proud of it.
But they were called. They played on Broad Street, and they were tough, so they called them the Broad Street Bullies. And they no, you.
She
can't.
Has no idea. Anyhow,
but it was funny.
So anyhow, they're in the dressing room, the Colorado, and it's quiet, and you can hear. When you're in the dressing room, you can hear the announcer out there, and it's quiet in the dressing room, and it's the shots for the Philadelphia 20, Colorado 1. One guy said, all right, who's the wise guy? Okay.
Oh, dear.
So anyhow, the outshot 20-1.
Yeah, but I think, and it was even worse with Montreal. In the second period, they were losing 3-2, and the shots were like 30 or 27 for Montreal and 7 for Vegas, and they were losing 3-2. So, what do you think of them sending that Caulfield down to the juniors?
Well, he'd probably get him out. Probably they don't want him. The first thing I thought of, they just want to get him out of that environment. Yeah, because my personal opinion, it's going to be in a lot of trouble. I think that they've written off this year, Montreal. They're going to do the best they can with what they got and really turn it on next year. Weber will be back.
Are you saying they're going to go for a high draft choice then?
No, they won't go for that bad.
No?
No, Arizona's got that all wrapped up.
Oh, is that right? No.
Yeah, they're doing.
Okay.
By
default.
Shane Wright.
Bring your suntan lotion. Because you're going to Arizona.
Well, that'd be a nice place, though.
No, yeah, but nobody ever hears about Chikrin, remember?
Yeah, if Jacob Chikrin played in New York and that Adam Fox played in Arizona, Chikrin would have got... would have been Norris Trophy winner.
Yeah.
He would have. He had like far more goals than anybody.
And a good hockey player.
He was a good hockey player.
Big guy.
But no Arizona, as you say, it's like...
Remember we met his dad?
Jacob Chikrin, yeah.
Yeah, his dad was an enforcer, big guy.
Yeah, I played for Philly. And so I even remember where we were at the Hershey Center's, like the side rinks, right? Like the
community rinks.
Community rinks. And we were sitting there, and these two big shadows cast upon us.
Great big monsters, both.
And he said, what's his dad's? I forget his dad's name. He played for Philly. And he says, my son Jacob, and he's going to make the National Hockey League. He had to be like 6'1 back then.
Oh, he was just a kid.
Played for the Junior Canadians. And he came in, and he pretty much dominated.
Yeah, he did. Anyhow, now Calgary, they don't tell me Sutter's not a good coach. Everywhere he goes, he wins. They beat him 6-0, and they beat New York Rangers 6-0. Noah Hanikin was plus 3. Tayshuk Matthew was plus 3, and Mr. Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau, was plus 3, but even Sutter can't get the guys to hit. They only had 14 hits, but things change in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, the one thing, Dad, that we mentioned last week was Matthews was struggling and Marner was struggling, and Marner got that fluky goal.
Yeah.
And you said, watch, this he'll get going, and it almost got him out of that funk, and it got almost Matthews out of that funk.
Yeah, once Marner got going, Matthews got going.
But you were right. You just had to get a fluky goal to get things going.
Well, also Jack Eichel got traded to Las Vegas. Every time they get Pacioretty, they got Pacioretty, they got Eichel, they got Stone. They got Peter Angelo. Anytime a guy comes up, they seem to get Kelly McCrimmon. And seems GM, he's doing pretty good. Now, they got Alan Tuck, and he was so happy to go to Buffalo. Now, I know a lot of people say, happy to go to Buffalo, although they're doing pretty good this year. He's from Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Upstate New York.
Yeah. And I don't think he's even playing this year. He got 18 goals last year. Peyton Cribbs, and he was in the trade too. He got 8 games. He had no points, and he was minus 4. So they get the first round and 23, I think, and the second round after that. So, I mean, they're pretty good. And Eichel's happy.
Yeah, they said he's going to get that disc surgery, and then it's at least 3 months. So he might be for the playoffs.
Don't think he'll be back. I don't think they'd take a chance on him with all. But anyhow, hey, Kevin McGuire, he's very, very happy he got rid of $10 million anyhow.
Yeah. You kind of had that situation in Colorado with Barry Beck.
I did.
In the sense where Barry Beck was the star, and he was playing, but... because they were trying to chintz him on...
I think he was making $85,000.
And he wanted, like...
he wanted as much as... Mike Gillis made. Mike Gillis was making... I forget how much money, but he went.
So there was other guys on the team making more money than him.
Yeah.
No. Mike Gillis. Oh, yeah. He was, you're right. He was making less than the rookie.
Yeah. And he said, wait a minute. I said, he's a franchise player, and he was good, boy.
Yeah.
He had a guy in a fight one time so hard he split his helmet right up in the middle. I mean, he was really good. I don't know what happened to him when he went to New York, but with us, he was really good. And,
I remember you talking to Muron and the owner, or the owner's son,
and
you.
Armin,
I remember
Poyen.
It was kind of like you said, "Why don't you? You got to pay him that money. You can't pay him less than the rookie."
Oh, they said, "Yeah." Now they said, "Well, we'll give him a raise," but I said, "It's less than the rookie." I said, "Don't you understand? It's a thing with him that he does not. He's a franchise player." And we're going to pay him less than the rookie coming in. And I said, you can't do it. So then we made a trade to New York.
Yeah, because you said then you got to trade him. And then they came back and said, well, we can't trade him. He's our franchise player. And then you said, well, then you have to pay him like he's the franchise player.
Yeah.
You can't have a guy that's never played in the NHL making more money than him.
Yeah.
And that was their... And
you know what?
Well, they didn't know hockey. But wasn't there a good story about him, about the car you gave him?
Oh, I walked by his car. He had a red car.
What wasn't it? Was it a Corvette or a Ferrari?
He looked like Magnum P.I.
Yeah, he looked like he was better looking than Magnum P.I.
Oh, was he ever?
Well, he's a good looking guy.
And it was all coffee cups and stuff in it.
He looked in his car.
As I walked by, I didn't go and look. It was all coffee cups and
in
stuff.
A Ferrari.
Yeah, you know, see. You know,
and they might not have nice cup holders as...
He didn't.
No, it was all... There was wrappers in it and stuff. Didn't you put a sign on it? Say, clean me or...
Clean the inside or something.
You put a
sign. There was dust.
But you know, that was...
That was funny.
But that was, I think, a big... That, like, it was always in the headlines.
Oh, that was a big headline.
It was a big distraction for the players because, it was...
And they knew he was going through the motions.
And so he should. I mean, if he had chip on his shoulder, who would blame the guy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Dad, Remembrance Day is coming up.
Yes, and, I remember it well.
Yes, we all know how important the poppy is to you.
It is.
So how about, I know there's a wonderful poem that you would like to recite.
Well, I'd like to talk about, I went out and got this and how it started. I mean, if you just read it, In Flanders Field is a war poem written during the First World War by a Canadian physician, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae. He was inspired to write it on May 3rd, 1915, after presiding over the funeral of a friend and fellow soldier, Lieutenant Alex Helmer, who died, he was killed in the second Battle of Ypres. Is that how you ever say that thing? Ypres, yeah. According to a legend, fellow soldiers retrieved the poem after McCrae, he was sitting in the back of an ambulance and initially dissatisfied his work, he just ripped it up. You know, he didn't rip it up, he just folded it up, threw it away. And they found it, and I read, and it went to, and they sent it, the soldiers sent it to Punch. Punch was a big paper in London on England. And Flanders Fields, a common English name of World War One battlefields in Belgium and France. Alex Helmer, I just want to say about Alex Helmer. Alex Helmer, a close friend, was killed during the battle on May 2nd, McCrae performed the burial service himself, at which time he noted how poppies quickly grew around the graves of those who died at Ypres. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. The next day, he composed a poem while sitting in the back of the ambulance at the advanced dressing station outside. This location is known as the John McCrae Memorial Site. And I'd just like to read Flanders Field as we leave right now. For all the veterans out there, we just saw a veteran when I was over in...
You were over in Afghanistan, and they sent his daughter sent a picture of you with him, and then
we had it blown up,
and then I got you to autograph and send it back to them.
We'll have to get his name. Anyhow, I'd like to do Flanders Field. You heard how it come, Sergeant McCrae, and imagine he crunched this up, and the soldiers found it, and in Flanders Field the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that marks our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, sure days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie. In Flanders Field. Take up our coil with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break it, faith with us who die. Shall not sleep through poppies grow. Flanders Field.